the sigh, right? The sigh. First of all, I just want to thank all the people that volunteered and donated those care packages again. That was awesome. Barb, where you at? You hooked her brother up. I appreciate it. And then Mark and Elizabeth, Tink could not stop eating those Pop-Tarts in the room. Another thing I want to say, all of the mothers of the middle school boys, thank you for a glimpse into the future, because me and Tink had such a fun time in that room at night. So Tink, it looks like I got a lot more people than you normally get. No, it's fine. So I'm going to open us here in prayer, and we'll get into this. I got a ticking clock, right? So, all right, go to prayer with me. Dear Lord, thank you for the path that you laid to bring Scotty and I to teach these amazing kids about you. And thank you for all those people that put their time, energy to help us in our efforts to further your kingdom. Let your words flow through me today as I deliver your word. In your name I pray. Amen. So last week, Tink went over on how Jesus reigns over danger and demons. The next verse is 21 through 43. We're going to reveal how he reigns over disease and death. So Anna and Gianna and Jack, little helper he is, go ahead. They're going to do a little popcorn reading.
Okay, we got it.
I don't know.
Okay. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him.
And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciple answers, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering."
Okay. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
Good job. Thank you. Jack, can you turn it, Michael? All right, there was a reason that they popcorn read, and I'll get to that. So we start off with after the incident of the pigs, right? One crowd was basically telling Jesus to leave. So as Jesus was relieving one crowd, he was actually coming back home to return to another crowd that welcomed him. There he was met by Jairus, who was a synagogue leader. Important to note here that leaders of synagogues did not approve of Jesus' teaching at the times and were Pharisees and became angry with him, with his teachings. However, coming to the point of his daughter's illness and death, he felt that Jesus was his only hope. So many of us come to Jesus at our lowest point, and there's nothing else but Jesus that can save us. But then we go into a story within a story. This is where the popcorn reading became into play, and Gianna started reading about the woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. It's safe to assume what she was bleeding for from 12 years, but there's really no translation of where she was bleeding from. During this time period, because of her disease and impoverished, she was considered unclean. She had spent all of her time and her money on doctors, and yet still was not cured. Now, doctors in that time, obviously, is very loose, right? Going from examples from Chad Poe when we were at camp, pretty much she would be sitting in like a pool of milk, getting smacked with a tree, saying, "Be healed," right? Or just circled around doctors and they would be chanting something and just pretty much say, "Be healed." Really, there was no medicine or anything involved in what they were doing. They were pretty much just scamming her out of all of her money. Learning of Jesus' arrival, a sense of faith and belief arose that he could heal her. Now, I'm going to go off of this real quick. I'm old school. I got paper and pen, not Tink's little iPad, right? So, but her intention was not directly to plead to Jesus, because she knew that if she associated with him, he would become unclean in that day and age, right? If an unclean person touches another person, considered unclean. Sometimes fear keeps us from God, but he is always there for us. No matter how impossible our problems may seem to us, they should never keep us from turning from him. Her belief, this belief led her to say, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." That amount of faith cannot be matched. So finding her way through the crowd, she managed to just touch his clothing, and her bleeding had dried up, freeing her from her suffering. Now Jesus was like, "Hold up, I felt that. Wait a minute, we gotta come back." He tried to find whoever his power was used on. Now, obviously all the commotion at that time, think of like, I know this is going to be cringy, guys. Taylor Swift walking through a crowd, right? All the people bombarding her and everything like that. His disciples that were with him did not see who touched him because of everything going on. Their eyes are scattered around, just looking at everything. So, but in this fear that it would come, she came forward and threw herself at the feet of Jesus. Now, Jesus did not try to find her to ridicule or shame her, yet he found her for her own sake. He wanted to show that he was more than a healer, but also a savior. Conversing with her and giving her words of assurance, calling her daughter. Now, wouldn't we all like to, when we get the chance to meet Jesus, that he calls us a son or daughter? Jesus says to her, "Go in peace." And doing this publicly, because before, since she was considered unclean, and to prove that she had been healed, she would have had to have go in front of all the synagogue leaders and anybody worth the power in order to get marked unclean. But Jesus publicly, "Go in peace," proclaims that she is no longer unclean and she can live out her days freely. Water break. Tank said, "Find a good water break." So I found one. All right. So while all this was going on, Jairus is so worried about his daughter, right? He's sitting there. He's like, why did we stop and heal this woman? I got better things. We got better things to do, Jesus. While Jesus was with the woman, a messenger from the house of Jairus had sent word that his daughter had died, and there was no need to associate with Jesus anymore. Now, Jesus, being who he is, overheard this, but better yet, he ignored what they have said, because in Jesus' eyes, he knew that that child was not dead. Now, at this moment, right, he just heard his daughter is dead. His faith had become wavering, right? He's like, I have Jesus, he's going to heal my daughter. I know this. Boom, she's dead, right? This is what he hears. Now, faith sometimes has us in many highs and lows, right? We are super up on faith, and then life happens, and then we just don't believe in the things we should. So I'm going to take, for instance, the youth. I'm going to use them as an example. Youth camp, awesome. For one glorious week, there was nothing but them together and strengthening their relationship with Jesus. And honestly, when they came back, it probably was on a very high for the following week. But soon after, now bear with me, don't throw me off the stage for this, Fair Week. Boone County Fair Week approaches, consuming most of their lives, and their faith in Jesus was not at the foremost thought. It was with their animals. Now, I'm very proud of how our kids acted during the Fair Week. They did an awesome job, showed great worth ethic. But our faith in Jesus needs to be the focal point of our lives. So, they left the crowd behind and continue to the home of Jairus. Jesus brought with him Peter, James, and John to be witnesses. And then after they arrived at the home, they've come to find mourners, which are essentially paid actors in that time and age, wailing loudly and crying. The mourners were there to pretty much make the whole village grieve for Jairus and his loss. They did not care about that child. They were there just to put on a show. Now, Jesus states, why all the commotion? The child is not dead, but asleep. Now, hearing that, Jairus and his wife get this sense of hope that something is, that she is not truly gone. Because a body, in Jesus' eyes, a body that is in rest until the moment of resurrection for those who truly believe. Now, Jesus told the mourners to leave. He said, get out of here. You're no longer needed. Then took his disciples as well as the parents into the child's room. There he went to the dead child and spoke the phrase, Talitha kum. Little girl, I say to you, get up. Boom. Now, when we were talking about doing this week, we had the funny thing of like having the youth do skit. Tell me how many people would have been astonished if we had Anna hiding in that back row. I say Talitha kum, and she just popped out of nowhere. That would have been a sight to see. Well, a miracle has occurred here, right? Now, miracles normally required only 2 to 3 witnesses. But for this one, they're safe to presume that there were 5 witnesses. We had Peter, James, and John, and then also the parents of the child, because it's safe to believe that they became believers in Christ after witnessing the miracle. Now Jesus gives them 2 simple instructions. First, no one should know of this miracle. During this time, during the beginning of his teachings, he didn't want news to spread of the miracle, because he didn't want people to just follow him for just to see the miracles. They wanted to believe in Jesus. And also because that he did not want to go ahead and start the confrontation that would become with the religious leaders of the time. Secondly, the child needs something to eat. For food was to nourish the child's body, but also to prove that the child was actually alive. I know if I would have been sick and laying in there, I would need something to eat too. Probably a cheeseburger, which I can't wait to get home and make. So, the child is alive, a miracle has been performed. Jesus has now demonstrated that he is the conqueror of danger, demons, death, and disease. Calming the sea, putting the demons in the pigs, healing a woman, and bringing a child back from the death. But consider this, during these times, these last 2 weeks that we talked, what kind of people did Jesus associate himself with? Whom did he consider important enough to touch with the power of God? Now, to be perfectly honest with you, I had an awesome childhood. My parents loved me. They supported me. They gave me everything I ever needed. But growing up, God nor the church were a huge part of my life. The only time I went to church is when my brother and I would usually stay with my grandparents, and we went to St. Paul Lutheran Church down there in Bracken County, Kentucky. But also saying that, I did not have a huge desire to go. I was with my grandparents, but my grandfather, being on the church council, this was a Lutheran church, so he essentially was a deacon. Mind you that Sundays were for church. We went to church and then we handled our business afterwards. But as getting older and getting a little bit more busy in life, those type of Sundays became less and less frequent. I had sports, had friends, job eventually. So going down to Bracken, driving an hour or 45 minutes to Bracken County was not in the mindset that I had. It wasn't until I met Scotty, who made it abundantly clear that she attends church on Sundays, and that if I wanted to keep dating her, I better attend too. So obviously, I liked her a whole lot. We've been together a long time. Wait, 8 years? 8 or 9? 8 or 9 years now. Time flies when you're having fun. And I started coming to Bellevue Baptist Church. Over time, I was getting the feeling that Jordan Jones was preaching directly to me. The words just started hitting me, right? The words of the gospel, all the stories, all the recaps. And they started having an impact on my life. And I made the ultimate decision to follow Jesus Christ. Most of you are here when I was baptized. I'm probably saying probably about 80% of you were. That is almost 6 years to the day when I was baptized. So we have seen various people worthy of Jesus' touch. We have seen his own disciples for when he calmed the sea, a possessed man, where he put the demon from him to the pigs, a powerful religious leader in Jairus and his daughter's death, an unclean woman who he healed after being suffering for 12 years, and even me, a person who avoided him for most of his life. Jesus cares equally for all and has proved this for the sacrifice he made on the cross for our sins. Now, as we go to sing the song of invitation, and you are ready to admit that Jesus has made the ultimate sacrifice for you, and you have something weighing on your, or if you have something weighing on your heart that you need prayer for, Brother Tink and I will be down here to receive you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thank you for the members of Bellevue Baptist Church welcoming me here so many years ago. and that they have helped me find my way to you. Thank you for giving me the strength to come up here today and share your word with them. And I ask that if anyone out there doesn't know you, reach out to them to see that your son Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for their sins and find it in their hearts to follow him. In your name I pray. Amen.